Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Oh! Whoa! Good job! Good job!
That's the way to make a play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over, Pirate 2, ready.
45, left!
Yes, we are free!
45, left!
Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby!
This fun or what?
The game is wide open. It's not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring a quarterback.
Round right, box 2 run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Hey, hut.
But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go. Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
This gun lights your firemen, the pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart, focus, and finish.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
Under pressure, coming back, fumbled the football, the Jets have it, picked off, intercepted by the Carolina.
Redskins win in Philadelphia.
An 80-yard touchdown for Adrian Peterson.
Hit by Greedy. That wins it for the Colts.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. What were
they? Have it. Touchdown.
Touchdown, Aaron Foster.
Get to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
There he goes, 25 to the 30-yard line. Still going, cut that stop. At the 40, one man to beat.
103 yards. Touchdown, Atlanta. Eric Weave just changed the game.
15, steps over that one. 25, straight through, 30. He's done it again.
Wow, look, Eric Weave showed today. He hurdles another tackle.
I know what you guys are made of. I know what you're made of. I see it every day.
We kept digging for a purpose. We want to come out of here with a win.
Resiliency is our trademark.
Let's go. You got to want it more than they do. You got to want it more than they do.
Every week, the level got to go higher and higher. The effort. The physical play, the execution. Just keep coming and we'll find a way to win. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
Atlanta clinches their third consecutive winning season.
Four-game winning streak. That's all we have to do.
The Eagles have pulled off the most remarkable win I have ever seen. Eric Berry, the biggest defensive play of the year for Kansas City.
It is now a one-game season. December is our month. It is time to go to work.
Across the 40, midfield. 45, he's on the run. 40, he's in the man, 35, look at him go. Touchdown, Seahawks.
A little left side of the Packers to the championship.
That's how we do it. We pick each other up. We play football like we're Steelers, like we are a team.
Touchdown! What a catch by Santonio Holmes! And the Jets answer right back.
The Bears have won, and it sets up a colossal renewal of the oldest and best rivalry in the NFL.
We got a game with immortality. He takes it into the end zone himself, diving for the pylon. Touchdown!
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi, I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our
3 meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
Welcome into the fastest community in sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Welcome to what has turned out to be a bit of a straining and yet an odd Sunday. But as always, you know, the life in and of itself is just a blessing, and we're a part of it. And we're happy to be here. One quick segue out of sports for just 1 minute. I bring some of you up to speed. Some sad news out of the music world this morning. Blues entertainer J.C. Rico was found unresponsive this morning in his home. In Springfield, Oregon, and uniquely enough, this is someone who's incredibly close to my heart simply because that is my older brother. And I know in his heart, he would probably, if he were here today, would certainly tell me, you know, that the one does not stop the show. And though, yeah, I take to the airways today with a bit of a heavy heart, nonetheless with an obligation to family and to friends and loved ones to fulfill some of his goals and aspirations that he had. I know we talked about for many years as my big brother, and as always, JC was my biggest fan in no matter what I aspired to do, whether it was radio, whether it was music, whether it was, you know, sales, whatever it might have been, he was my biggest fan. So with a heavy heart today, we pursue, take a moment out to give him his just due and proper love for one man who may not have always made the best decisions but knew how to love unconditionally to all those in his family. Now to the sports world, for those of you following college football, a crazy day yesterday for any and everyone. 10-12 for your Sunday morning. Let's run down the top 25 programs and let's see how everybody did. There are some upsets to report from the world of sports, so let's get right into it. And uniquely enough, we're not going to go one up. We're going to go the other way today just because that's always a lot more fun. Number 25, USC survives Minnesota 19-17 in a really, really hard-fought battle. Number 23, Auburn. Literally, you know, fumbles and lucks up past Utah State yesterday. For those of you who may watch that game, Utah State was up 10 in the fourth quarter with a chance to pull the upset and just could not hold on. Florida, 41-3 over FAU. That'd be 22nd rank. Florida Gators pull that out. Missouri, 17-6 win in their game. Mississippi State, a 59-14 win over Memphis. Oklahoma State, number 18, a 42-0 win. That's Ohio State, 42-0 over Akron. Had a chance to watch that. Ohio State just kind of putting it on Akron. Akron got some issues in their running back game and just never really had found it since a couple of their running backs have literally walked away from the program. Number 17, MSU, 28-6 win over Youngstown. One of the big upsets, South Florida upsets Notre Dame, 23-20. For those of you who got a chance to watch that game, you saw the fumble at literally the half-inch line that turned into a 99.5-yard return for a South Florida touchdown. And Notre Dame was kind of just, you know, shooting itself in the foot all game long. Number 15, Arkansas, a 51-7 win over MOSU. Number 14, TCU falls to Baylor in a wild game where no one played any defense. Baylor taking that one 50-48 on a late field goal. Va Tech, 66-13 win over Appalachian State. South Carolina takes care of ECU, 56-37. Wisconsin blows out UNLV, 51-17. Number 10, Nebraska in its opening day in the Big Ten, a 40-7 win over Chattanooga. Number 9, Oklahoma State, a 61-34 win over ULL. Stanford takes care of business against San Jose State, 57-3. FSU, a 34-0 shutout winner. Georgia actually falls to Boise State. Again, for those of you who are going to follow that, Boise State was a big favorite in this game. Number 5th ranked, this was the game that they had to look at as the game that was going to be largely determinant of their season because the rest of the schedule does not look very taxing. Boise State could be the BCS buster this year. Number four, LSU takes care of number three, Oregon, in a game where Oregon just could never get on track. Number two, Alabama takes care of Kent State, 48-7. And, of course, the number one team in the nation, the Oklahoma Sooners, takes care of Tulsa, 47-14. That's your top 25 rundown. A couple of things to note. You're about a week and – well, actually, you're 1 week away from the opening day of the National Football League. For those of you looking forward to next Sunday, of course, the league will get started on Thursday. So for those of you who haven't had your fantasy draft yet, we'll get into some stuff on fantasy sports a little bit later on. In the meantime, college is doing its thing. Major League Baseball is winding down. Let's take a look at Major League Baseball and find out what's happening special there in all your standings. Moving ahead. I'll start off in the American League. So the Yankees have a half-game lead over Boston right now. The Yankees have won three straight. Boston, basically after just winning the one game to get within a half game. Uniquely enough, Tampa Bay is 12 games above 500 and 9.5 games out of it. So this is definitely a two-horse race. Looking down the way, the American League Central, Detroit, Cleveland, and Chicago, the Sox can't seem to get out of their way. They've lost three straight. The last two, of course, to the division-leading Detroit Tigers. Again, you've got to take care of business when you get a chance. And the Sox are a 500 squad, just can't seem to get out of their way. And so they're letting Detroit start to pull away in that division. In the American League West, you've got the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Angels fighting it out. Uniquely enough, though, it is apparently the Texas Rangers to kind of win. With about 35 games left in the season, Texas holds a 3.5 game lead. There's no one else that's even in the equation. Oakland's 15.5 out, Seattle's 20 out. In the National League, you've got the Philadelphia Phillies kind of being the class of the conference, and sort of the class of the National League East, leading Atlanta by 8.5 games. Of course, Atlanta's looking at a wild card spot. Uniquely enough, Atlanta is literally 39 games over. I'm sorry, Atlanta. Philadelphia is 39 games over 500 at 88-47, despite the most recent loss. The Atlanta Braves are 24 games above 500, and they're still 8.5 games back, having lost the last couple. Again, looking at that wild card as a one-way into the playoffs, no other team in the National League is playing at that level of the Atlanta Braves. They just happen to be in the same division as the Philadelphia Phillies. The National League Central is Milwaukee's basically to have with an 8.5 game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. Both the Reds, Pirates, Cubs are completely out of the mix there. They're not even in the wheelhouse. Kudos to Cub fans who still go to that park. Kudos to Pirate fans who saw something special this year and better play out of their Pittsburgh Pirates. And, you know, that's a team that's on the uptick. And Cincinnati Reds took a definite step backwards this year. I don't know if that's some of that's dusty or what, but, you know, playing just, you know, sub 500 baseball right now. So, yeah, you know, Cincinnati's a beautiful stadium. Unfortunately, they didn't get the product they certainly deserve. The National League West, Arizona is now pulled up by 6 games over the Giants after winning last night. The Dodgers, a distant third, 10.5 games back. So as baseball begins to wind down and we start seeing some of the fall classic kind of just take shape, you're going to definitely see Yankees, Boston. Looks like you're going to see Detroit. The Angels aren't dead yet, but, you know, we're going to call Texas kind of that odds-on favorite. The Phillies in the National League East, your wild card leader right now, of course, the Atlanta Braves. Milwaukee was definitely going to win the Central. Arizona looks like it's trying to make a statement to dominate and close out the West. So those are your potential playoff teams and scenarios. Looking at the wild card and the wild card standings, it's like Boston's going to win in the American League. They're 9 games up on Tampa Bay for that spot. Atlanta, again, 7.5 games up on St. Louis for the other wild card spot in the National League. Largely, again, dominated by timely hitting, solid pitching. Bullpens have played a greater role this year maybe than in years past where just about all these programs. You just don't want to be down 2 or 3 runs going into the 6th, 7th inning against really, really deep, rich, talented bullpens, and that's been the case. I'd set aside times at 10:18 in the morning to talk to you a little bit about the National Basketball Association, but why? The most important news coming out of that is that former NBA player, sentenced to prison. Jay Vincent sentenced Friday to more than 5 years in prison in order to pay more than $110,000 to the IRS for his part in a fraud case involving thousands of people who paid to become certified home inspectors. Prosecutors say that Vincent and an associate defrauded over 20,000 people out of more than $1 million by charging them to become inspectors through a business called Foreclosure Bank Inspection. No inspectors were hired, and the business had no contracts with banks, according to the government. Vincent, 52 years old now, pleaded guilty to fraud and tax charges nearly a year ago. On Friday, he apologized in federal court in Grand Rapids for his actions. His lawyers asked for probation so he could start repaying the victims, while prosecutors recommended 9 years in prison. U.S. District Judge Robert Jonker sentenced Vincent to 5.5 years on mail fraud charges and involving the victims, and 3 years on a tax fraud charge. The sentences are to run concurrent under federal law. He could be eligible for time off for good behavior. That could slightly reduce the sentence. Three other mail fraud charges were dismissed. The judge also ordered the $110,408 payment to the IRS. The judge will decide in about 60 days on how much Vincent may have to pay the victims. Jonker wanted to give them more time to contact federal prosecutors if they haven't already done so. Today's sentence of Jay Vincent, however, shows the IRS criminal investigation team will continue their pursuit of those who use fraudulent methods to corrupt our nation's tax system, said Eric Martinez, special agent in charge of the Detroit Office of the IRS criminal investigation. The statement added that honest taxpayers have been reassured today that no one is above the law. Former NBA star Magic Johnson, who played with Vincent on Michigan State's 1979 national championship team, wrote a letter to the judge earlier this week in which he said his childhood friend from Lansing and former colleague roommate was incredibly remorseful. I know that what he did was wrong, and I hope in time he'll be able to repay all the people who lost money in the situation, Johnson said in his letter. I believe he got involved with the wrong people and made some really bad decisions. Magic Johnson went on to ask the judge for leniency for a friend, Jay Vincent. With all due respect to the parties involved, and my heart goes out to him, I ask again that you consider his time served and to have mercy on him and not to allow this one incident, a bad decision making, to change the course of his life. Jay Vincent's attorneys in keeping Jay Vincent out of prison would allow him to repay any court-ordered restitution. Mr. Vincent remains employable both locally and abroad. His successful basketball career continues to present him with opportunities for coaching, instruction, basketball camps, and speaking, said his attorney Tom Clement in the court filing. So, again, that is the latest from the NBA. No talks of camp, no talks of resolution to the situation with owners and players. The 6 hours of collective bargaining agreements in New York City have yielded nothing. And now you've got players like DeJuan Blair signing in Russia, Parsons playing in France. You've got pictures of Tony Parker, in a French jersey uniform. I mean, it's sad. Those of us here in the Chicago market look forward to what we thought was going to be a great NBA season after the run the Bulls took us on last year to the conference finals. Recently, Charles Barkley was asked whether or not he thought Derrick Rose should consider even going overseas. And, of course, his immediate response was, no, you don't run the risk of hurting yourself or injuring yourself in a game overseas only because your NBA career could be obvious. There's not the same protocols overseas as are here in the National Basketball Association. So it's curious to see exactly how many people are going to be honing their game, trying to just keep the game alive, even if it's just overseas, keeping their game sharp. When indeed we do get back to playing basketball here. So we'll see what happens. Scanning the rest of the globe of the National Basketball Association, there's just nothing there to tell you about in the NBA at 10:23 on your Sunday morning. Hakeem Warwick trying to set up some pickup games, I guess, with some of his friends, Carmelo Anthony. The landscape that is in the NBA is just kind of, I hate to say yucky because, again, I like the NBA and I wish these guys could sort this out. It's just kind of frustrating. If you're an NBA fan, I kind of feel for you. But to a lighter note, the National Hockey Association. Our buddy Dustin Byfuglien played with the Blackhawks when they won their championship. After they won the championship, of course, Dustin was bounced to the Atlanta Thrashers and most recently bounced to the Winnipeg Jets and all of a sudden bounced into jail. The article comes out simply saying the Winnipeg Jets defenseman Dustin Byfuglien has been arrested in Minnesota on suspicion of boating while intoxicated. The 26-year-old Byfuglien was arrested Wednesday in Lake Minnetonka. Y'all remember Lake Minnetonka? That was in Prince's The Deep Purple Rain. A statement from the Sheriff's Department says he refused to submit to a blood and urine test. He was released from the Hennepin County Jail early Thursday. He has not been formally charged. The Sheriff's Department statement said the case will be presented to the Lake Minnetonka Conservation District Attorney for consideration of charges. Byfuglien is a Minnesota native who spends his offseason there and is part of that Blackhawks team that won the Stanley Cup in 2010. So such is the case, as much as I'd love to say what's wrong with us, the brothers, Dustin was one of the few brothers in the league that garnered a lot of attention, obviously, during that big blackout run. Had a lot of people looking into the game of hockey in hopes that maybe that was something they themselves could get into. Nonetheless, Dustin Byfuglien in a little bit of hot water and up in Minnesota. Well, look, it's 10:24, and as much as I'd love to fill this up with baseball talk, basketball talk, and hockey talk, not a lot there. I mean, they haven't heard much from the world of the NHL in terms of camps. I understand recently that a player, lost his life, suffered from depression. But let's now get into, what most of you basically tune into the show for, which is your love and your passion for the National Football League. Major league cuts for all teams. Teams had to get down to 53-man roster by 5 o'clock yesterday. Now, if you start to hear a little bit of amp up in my voice, it's only because we get to talk football, and let's face it, we love to talk football. 10:25 in the morning, more about it. We're going to get in the NFL right after this.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke Summer sound effects on you? Cool. You okay with this? And this? And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here. Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
School sale, a mega sale, extra savings on 150 power hour specials late Friday and early Saturday. Mega savings like 35 to 55% off junior collections and 50% off graphic tees. Big savings on kids' shoes and even sheets. Earning unlimited Kohl's cash, $10 for every 50 you spend, no limit. Hurry in Friday and Saturday because for 2 days only, you say yes to mega savings. Kohl's, expect great things.
Man, I dig inner monologues.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, look, a fillet of fish just sitting here in my mind being all delicious. Hey!
That's my sandwich.
What? How did you get in my inner monologue?
Door was open. Give it back.
Man, get your own invisible sandwich.
Any day is a great day for a fillet of fish sandwich. And right now at McDonald's, you can get 2 fillet of fish sandwiches for only $3.33. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? It, what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Welcome back to the Fast 60 Minutes Sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Halfway through the show, let's get into some National Football League information. As you all know, yesterday was cut down day. So teams that had over 80 men had to get down to that 53-man roster. Let's go with this, we'll do some NFC and then some AFC analysis of the cuts that were made. Some names may surprise you. Some may not. So let's go through this. We'll start in New York with the New York Giants. No-brainers at the New York Giants camp. While Dodge, I think we're talking about the punter, had a lot of good preseason. There's a lot of talent probably will find work somewhere else. Once the Giants brought in Steve Weatherford, that much kind of said, you know, goodbye to Dodge. He's been one of the best punters in the league the last couple of years. He knew his days were numbered there. Anyway, Weatherford will be the punter in New York. Keep in mind the bad memories last year when Dodge punted to DeSean Jackson in the game, and Jackson simply returned the ball back, and Philadelphia wins that game late. Health issues may have cost Sage Rosenfeld the backup job to David Carr there. So what's next for the Giants? They'll sort some things out through some of the Eagles cast offs, in particular tight end Donald Lee and nickel cornerback Cordelio Hansen. Kind of makes some sense for the Giants as they as the former would fill a huge hole in the ladder, would allow them to keep answering a role at safety. Personally, I always think that they need linebacker help, but you know, they seem to disagree, and that's one of the reasons the Giants probably won't make the playoffs. Anyway, one man's opinion. To the Seattle Seahawks, Golden Tate's status has drawn considerable attention in recent weeks, but CS never planned to really release him. Again, this was a high draft round pick a year or so ago. Running back Justin Forsett wasn't really in danger either, even though Leon Washington could be moving past him on the depth chart behind starter Marshawn Lynch. With Washington and Forsett sticking around, there was no room for Thomas Clayton. Undrafted rookies Josh Porter at quarterback and Doug Baldwin had clearly done enough to earn spots initially, so both got to stick and stay. The situation for the Seahawks at fullback and tight end bears monitoring, with Carlson landing on the injured reserve. As expected, Dominic Byrd stuck as the third tight end for now. Assistant head coach and offensive line coach Tom Cable has valued H-back types in his offense, and it's unclear whether Seahawks' current personal addresses that function adequately. So, Michael Robinson, again, on the roster, Deion Butler, cornerback Ron Lewis, tight end Cameron Moore, all are on the reserve, has been able to perform less. The severity of the left guard Robert Gallery's knee injury could influence how the team proceeds on the offensive line. So, such is the case for the Seattle Seahawks. The Detroit Lions, a lot of sexy picks for a lot of teams this year. They've made some moves. Obviously, they've gotten down there. I don't know if it qualifies as a surprise, but it was sure not jarring to hear earlier Saturday that veteran punter Nick Harris was ousted. Harris had been with the Lions since 2003 and hadn't appeared to be in decline, but rookie Ryan Donahue, who was 10 years younger than Harris and had an equally strong training camp. Age doesn't always apply to punters as it does with players at other positions, but the Lions believe Donahue can be their punter for years to come. Meanwhile, the Lions activated cornerback Alphonso Smith from the non-football injury list, meaning they believe that he'll be ready to play before the 6 weeks of the season. What's next for him? Lions GM Martin Mayhew is usually good for a couple of trades and veteran acquisitions during Labor Day weekend. He wonders if the Lions are going to want to fortify their running back depth, which currently includes little-used Aaron Brown and an injured Maurice Morris. Chester Taylor is a Detroit area native. They'll be surprised if the Bears cast-off winds up in Detroit. Scrolling down to quick to Green Bay, we're going to stick right now in the NFC North. Packers coach Mike McCarthy made it clear in camp that he hoped to find a way to keep Graham Harrell on the final roster. It's no secret that number two quarterback Matt Flynn is a pending free agent, and McCarthy thought now wouldn't be a good time to part ways with another quarterback who spent time developing in the Packers system. Harrell rebounded from a shaky camp, but I guess the Packers couldn't find a place for him on a roster that includes five tight ends and a whopping 10 linebackers. I'd expect him to return on the practice squad, assuming he clears waivers. It's not hard to connect your Michael Finley's pending free agency with high number of tight ends the Packers kept. This includes two rookies, DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor, along with veterans Andrew Quarles and Tom Crabtree. When you have big-time starters entering a contract year, it makes sense to ensure that your future bases are covered. Meanwhile, I don't fault the Packers for limiting themselves to five receivers in the process, cutting loose Chasen West and Torrey Gorley. Among others, both to return by the practice squad and the veteran depth they have at the position would have made it difficult for a number six receiver to be active on game day. Finally, the Packers choose to keep veteran tailback Ryan Grant and release the younger Dimitri Nance. For some of you, you believe that's a smart move. What's next? The Packers have already found two trade partners for their player, sending fullback Quinn Johnson to the Tennessee Titans after an unclosed draft pick and guard Caleb Slaughteroff to the New York Jets. For an undisclosed draft pick, there aren't any obvious holes in their current 53-man group, so the Packers' primary goal Sunday will be to get out as many of their just-released players through waivers and onto practice squads as soon as possible. Are we going to get to our beloved Chicago Bears? I know that's the question most of you are kind of sitting there harshing. Let's get to the Bears. Submitted by our friends Kevin Seifert. Here's the deal. The Bears have now bid farewell to the three locker room stalwarts, Olin Krutz, Rashee Davis, and now tight end Desmond Clark, as you know, Clark was hurt in the first preseason game. The Bears released Clark as part of Saturday's roster cutdown, deciding to keep undrafted rookie Kyle Adams instead. Clark said via Twitter that I played my butt off, but sometimes it's more about business. The Bears indicate he was released with an injury regardless, intentionally or otherwise. The Bears had at least temporarily created a player leadership void. No-brainers. After last week's communication fiasco, there was a little doubt that running back Chester Taylor would be part of the cut. The Bears need only two tailbacks behind starter Matt Forte, and those roles will be filled by Marion Barber and Khalil Bell. They also kept fullback Will Tuafoko. Try to say that one three times. I don't know if the Bears entered the training camp playing to keep undrafted rookie Dane Sonsenbacher, but his quick ascension as a slot receiver was obviously in the midpoint of the preseason. Quarterback Jay Cutler loves throwing to this kid. The Bears' depth at linebacker is a little bit scary. They kept only five at the position, Brian Ewell and undrafted rookie Dom Ciso, as the reserves behind Lance Briggs, Urlacher, and Nick Roach. You would think the Bears would at least scan the waiver wire for additional depth, especially with Briggs nursing a knee injury and talking how much he wants out of Chicago. With Barber and Bell having suffered preseason injuries, the Bears might check out emergency running back depth as well. That is the cut-down analysis for the Bears. I'd love to get you into the list of players that might be there or might be gone, some names you might know, but that would just take us way past the 11 o'clock hour. The Minnesota Vikings. Either the Vikings have confidence in a number of unproven offensive linemen or they have their sights on some veteran acquisitions later this weekend. The release of Chris Geer and Ryan Cook, both of whom saw substantial action at right guard during an injury rehabilitation, starting Anthony Herrera. This version of the 53-man roster features centers and a total of 10 offensive linemen. The group includes two rookies, DeMarcus Love and Brandon Fusco, and one first-year player, Patrick Brown. The Vikings' arrangement here remains under construction as far as we're concerned. Undrafted tight end Allen Reason was one of the big surprises of camp. He's not only pushed by veteran Jeff Dugan off the roster, but also forced the Vikings to keep four tight ends on their roster. I wonder whether the Vikings would release safety Terrell Johnson, who struggled to maintain his starting job in the face of the modest challenge from Jamarco Sanford. In the end, the Minnesota Vikings didn't have enough in-house experience to make that move. But watch out down the road for rookie Mistral Raymond, who forced his way onto the initial 53-man roster and is clearly respected by his coaches. What to see out of Minnesota? Not much this year. You think the Vikings would be on the lookout for two areas in particular, linebackers and running back. The decision to release veteran Heath Farwell left them with five linebackers, only two of whom have starting experience. The current backups are special teammates Kenny Onatolu and undrafted Larry Dean. With the new starter Aaron Henderson is still establishing himself, you wonder if that's enough depth. Meanwhile, the Vikings kept only three tailbacks and no fullbacks. Both of Adrian Peterson's backups, Toby Gearhart and Lorenzo Booker, were dealing with injuries as recently as this past weekend. Depth is definitely an issue and could be addressed within the next 24 to 48 hours. So, for those of you NFC North heads, who wins this division? If you said the Chicago Bears, you could be right, you could be wrong. They're largely a unique situation because you're just not sure what you're going to get out of that offense. If you said the Green Bay Packers, you'd probably be leaning toward the majority of feelings across the league right now because they don't seem to have a lot of holes. Guess we'll find out by the time we get to week three in the National Football League when the Green Bay Packers pay a visit to Soldier Field and get it on with our beloved here. In the meantime, if you thought the Detroit Lions were going to make some noise, you would probably be right. But exactly how much noise will the Lions make? That remains to be seen. Don't be surprised if you see an 8-8 Lions team and a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of fun coming out of Detroit. They're going to put up points. Make no mistake about it. They are going to put up a ton of points. Will they put up enough? We'll wait and see. Back to talk more about football after this.
Your league survived the karaoke draft of 06.
What's up?
It'll survive pretty much anything.
Okay.
Sign up for free fantasy football at ESPN.com.
So do I pronounce it?
This game will be two gladiators gladiating it out. This game is going to be an angry baby, a woman scorned, a tornado inside a volcano, a cackling witch. This game.
Stuck in a bad relationship with sports radio? Switch to ESPN Radio for the best sports on the dial.
You know, with the addition of a closer, I think it can really strengthen their bull. Amazing.
It's a new shirt.
If this one doesn't get your toes tapping, check your pulse. Maybe this. Here it is, coming to you in living cola. Refreshing Pepsi Cola. From the wonderful folks who put the in cola. I'll be
signing off now.
Because it's my bedtime. I'll catch you on the flip side. Be
there.
Remember our wonder years? We began every morning with fresh eyes. Every afternoon promised another adventure. We lived in the moment and made every day matter. Those days might seem long ago, but that sense of wonder can still be found. It still lives in a magical place where the mighty Huron, Superior, and Lake Michigan meet. Our wonder is not lost, but flows strong in the great waters of Michigan's eastern Upper Peninsula, a place of shipwrecks and maritime adventure, a sacred land rich with Native American heritage and man-made marvels, where quiet forests open under rolling shores, and where we can still see eagles soar over majestic cliffs, rugged shoreline, and hundreds of islands that rise from this freshwater sea. So let's head north to the great waters and discover the wonder that is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Right here on the show, quick side note before I get into too much and we run out of time. Hall of Fame defensive end at Tampa Bay, Leroy Sumner, was in the minds of his teams. He worked with on Saturday, a day after he was hospitalized in Florida after suffering a stroke. His brother said he was showing small signs of improvement. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers confirmed Saturday that he suffered indeed a stroke. Issued a statement saying that the organization was simply thinking about him. The Glazer family, which owns the team, said from the very start, Leroy Sumner has been there for his team and his community. Now he and the entire Sumner family should know that our family and the entire Buccaneer organization is thinking and our prayers are certainly with him. The 50-year-old Selman, also a star lineman at the University of Oklahoma, once served as athletic director for the University of South Florida, and its football players wore his old number on their helmets for their victory at Notre Dame. Meanwhile, brother Dewey Selman told the Tampa Tribune on Saturday that he was showing signs again of improvement. "We all have great hopes," said Dewey, also a former Oklahoma and Tampa Bay player. "He's a fighter. Keep the prayers going." All right, back in the grind. What did your team do? How did your team kind of fare itself out in terms of these cuts? Do you like your roster? Have you done your fantasy football draft yet? All this and more over the next week as we get ready for the start of the National Football League season. So I guess first and foremost, who's going to win this whole thing? People have been asking this left and right. Everyone's got their perspective. Can Green Bay repeat? Let me give you some of the expert chatter that's out there right now, and some of this may surprise you. Jeffrey Chata from ESPN.com is confident that this indeed may be the first time you've seen a team repeat. He has Green Bay winning it all again. Let me give you his breakdown. He has the Patriots winning the East, the Steelers winning the North, the Colts again winning the South, the Chargers winning the West, the wildcard teams being the Ravens and the Jets. In the NFC, he has the Eagles, Packers, Falcons, Cardinals, with the wildcards being the Vikings and the Buccaneers. Okay, somebody's smoking. Anyway, his AFC champion is the Patriots. The NFC champion is Green Bay. He has Andy Reid as the coach of the year, and Michael Vick being the MVP. Am I reading this right? Michael Vick is going to be the MVP, but his team is not going to go that deep in the playoffs. Rookie of the year, Julio Jones. Defensive rookie of the year, Von Miller. There does seem to be some consensus along expert lines in terms of Von Miller being defensive player of the year. Let's move over to John Clayton, also from ESPN.com. He has the Patriots winning the whole thing this year, with the Patriots, Steelers, Colts, Chargers winning their divisions, Ravens and Jets, and, again, winning their wild card spots, Eagles, Packers, Falcons, and Rams winning the NFC West, with the Saints and the Cowboys being the wild card team. He does have the same Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Packers this year, with this time with the Patriots pulling it out, Tom Brady doing what he does in big games. Ashley Fox has a little bit different take on things. She has the Patriots winning the East, Steelers winning the North, Texans winning the South, and Chargers winning the West, with the Jets and Colts being the wild card. Eagles, Packers, Falcons, Rams winning in the NFC, with the Cowboys and Saints being the wild card team. So now you've got a Steelers winning the AFC championship, the Eagles winning the NFC championship, and the Steelers winning the big game. Jason Garrett out of Dallas being coach of the year, Michael Vick again MVP, Julio Jones your offensive rookie of the year, and Von Miller being a defensive rookie of the year. That seems to be a bit of a consensus. Don Graziano, a little bit different take. He has Jets, Ravens, Texans, Chargers winning their division, with the Patriots and Steelers being the wild card teams. That's a little odd. Eagles, Packers, Saints, Cardinals, with Falcons and Cowboys being the wild card team. The Chargers winning the AFC and the Saints winning the NFC. Jim Schwartz, the coach of the Lions, being coach of the year. Phillip Rivers being your MVP. Julio Jones being your offensive rookie of the year, and Ryan Kerrigan being your defensive player of the year. So some fun stuff there. 10:44 for your Sunday morning. More predictions from people who were supposed to be in the know. We'll just deal with champions. Patriots all the way across the AFC platform for most people from ESPN.com. NFC champion, Saints, Packers, Cowboys, or Packers. Packers getting a whole lot of love on that end. Further down the expertise row. I have nothing really to talk about. A lot of people believing that the Patriots are going to basically the Patriots. Well, there's some Jets love from Bill Williamson from ESPN. But a lot of people on the Patriots and Steelers for the AFC Championship. The AFC Championship starts to get a little spoiled as you get further down. A lot of people now coming back to Philadelphia, you know, after Vincent's conversation about being the dream team. There is one love for the Falcons winning in the NFC. And one for the Saints. Matt Williamson from Scouting actually believes the Saints will win the NFC. What I do find a little bit amazing is there is absolutely no love whatsoever for the Chicago Bears. Now, you all know me. You know I'm a Bears homer, but there is, I'm looking at this list of all these teams listed here, and no one, absolutely no one, has the Bears winning the division, has the Bears being a wild card team. There's absolutely no love. I humbly submit to you that the Bears' schedule is tough for the first 3-4 weeks, but if they come out of those first 2 games 2-1, there's going to be a whole lot of experts eating a whole lot of crow this year, and I don't think Lovie Smith would really have it any other way. All right, 10:45 in the morning. Let's get into some of these transactions, see what we've got going on here. Let's see. Well, you know, we really got to get into some player ranking here with our fantasy guys, and we haven't really done that yet today. So let's switch gears just a little bit and get some fantasy love going for those of you that maybe haven't had your draft, haven't got your draft coming up, and you want to know exactly what that 53-man factor is going to mean to your squad. So let's see if we can find some Simmons and some low, some Simmons and some not Simmons. Let's see what we've got. Let's see, what's in the top 250. Let's see here. 10 things that in the deepest corner of the heart of the top 4 picks facing in 60 seconds. For those of you who have gone through the drafts, where are you going to go with those first few picks? And things you may have picked up. I mean, did you find any surprises in the preseason, or were any of the cuts like some amazing shock to you? Did that throw your whole draft into a tailspin? What are you going to do with a draft pick like Kenny Britt? Cedric Benson seems to not be able to get out of his own way. If you were thinking about drafting a Cedric Benson because of his success in the red zone last year, you're not sure when you're going to see him on the field. I know they're trying to get all the stuff resolved to get to game one, but be curious to see exactly what happens. Let's see. Bears ax Chester Taylor after a week of apparent dithering, which means Marion Barber is obviously the second man behind Forte in Chicago. Tony Moyakis reportedly out for the season with a torn ACL. That's going to throw some things. Replaced by Leonard Pope in the Chiefs starting lineup. Actually, Pope is a blocker, but again, he can catch the ball. He just needs a shot. Justin Gage searching for a new team. These are obviously your concerns later in your draft, really not early on. Is anyone out there going to literally look at drafting Terrell Pryor? You're good. You're good if you do. I don't know that I'd be looking that way. A couple of things to consider as far as your draft. Round two for most of you guys is going to be probably more deciding than round one. You're going to have your staples, your APs, your Matt Fortes, a lot of your heavy running backs will go on your first round, your Michael Turner's a little early. Where are you going to go in your second round? The running backs largely will be gone by the second or third pick in your second round. And you're going to need some depth this year to have really a good shot at winning in your league. Where are you going to come out and find your quarterback? Are you going to get your quarterback early on? Aaron Rodgers will surely probably be gone in the first round. Vic will probably be gone in the first round. It would not surprise me if Drew Brees is gone first round. But uniquely enough, because of the heavy weight of running backs and quarterbacks, there's always great value in the middle 2 and 3 rounds where your quarterbacks are concerned. You may not have to worry so much about your quarterback, your high fantasy value quarterback, in that first round when you can find a Matt Ryan or a Josh Freeman or a Big Ben somewhere in round two. Tony Romo, Matt Schaub, Cutler even, are going to be there middle of the second round. Matthew Stafford, you know, even a Mark Sanchez may be available early as the third round. You start to get a little saturated, though, as you get a little further down the road, 20, 25, 26, 27, in your quarterback rankings. You start to see a McNabb in Minnesota, again, who's going to throw to. Kyle Orton, who had a huge season last year, and may, again, have a big year in terms of numbers. If they can keep him upright, they've got some O-line issues there. You're probably not looking at a Jason Campbell unless you really go three deep in your quarterback. You're not looking for a Ryan Fitzpatrick unless there's just nothing else left and you need one. Matt Hasselbeck in Tennessee, if Kenny Britt's there, okay. Colt McCoy doesn't do much for you. Chad Haney doesn't do much for you. Alex Smith is an anomaly. He's got weapons. So Alex Smith could be the fantasy steal. Cam Newton, I don't think you're going to get a lot there. Tavares Jackson, Seattle, not a lot there. If it's Beck or Grossman with the Redskins, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. We know the Bengals have been talking to Carson Palmer, but right now you're looking at Andy Dalton there, a rookie quarterback, not there. After that, you're really looking at just depth and fill-ins, you know, based on injury. I don't know, are you bold enough to go after an Aaron Rodgers within the first three or four picks of this draft? Or do you decide that the running backs are far more valuable? You have the APs, Chris Johnson, now that he is signed, Deval Charles, Aaron Foster, Ray Rice, LaShawn McCoy, Maurice Jones-Drew, Rashard Mendenhall, Michael Turner, Frank Gore. Those guys really, really dominate the early rounds of the draft. You know, if the Raiders have solved their O-line issues, you're going to see Darren McFadden have a huge season this year. Peyton Hillis may come back to the pack just a little bit. Matt Forte will be Matt Forte. That offensive line in Chicago, while it gets vilified for everything that happened early on last year, is much improved. Look at this last half of that season when that team began to start rolling and start putting up some points. Now, Matt Forte, you know, again, now about to get a new contract. He's definitely outplayed the original one. He's in the fold now. This is huge for your Bears fans. D'Angelo Williams out of Carolina, I don't know what you're going to get there with that old line. Ahmad Bradshaw will be Ahmad Bradshaw, no Sean Moreno. If they can find that way to run block in Denver one more time, LeGarrette Blount could be one of those sleepers that could have a huge season. Javid Best is someone who is going to be running with a bit of a chip on his shoulders because, again, they went out and they got Miguel Ashour in Detroit. He basically tears himself up. He's out for the season early. So, you know, Javid Best, not necessarily odds-on choice, but, again, a running back that's going to see some touches down there. And, again, one of the stalwarts for New England, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, gets a lot of touches in that red zone. If the Patriots are inside the 10-yard line, look for Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis to put up a lot of points this year. Is he going to be a fantasy stud? Good luck in finding those fantasy studs outside Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson. Everyone else, you know, well, that's what they want. Once you get past AP, Chris Johnson, Jamal Charles, Aaron Foster, and Ray Rice, and Maurice Jones-Drew, and I throw Michael Turner in there, and maybe even Frank Gore. Well, I'm starting to contradict myself. I started to get 10 deep, Steven Jackson, Darren McFadden. These guys are the horses in their squad, even the Matt Fortes. But if you're in a two-back system, like is the case in the Giants with Ahmad Bradshaw, and I forgot the tank's name here, the big guy. All right, Giants fans. All right, you can shoot me up on that one because I'm drawing blanks here. Brandon Jacobs, thank you very much. Brandon Jacobs may see a lot of red zone touches, and that could affect, obviously, Ahmad Bradshaw's numbers. Bradshaw's going to put up some numbers, but again, they won't be. Again, he's splitting time with Brandon Jacobs, and Brandon is healthy, which he is now. Look for that to be a dynamic duel, but they're going to split numbers. Love for your wide receivers at 10:53 on Sunday morning. You are looking at Andre Johnson having a huge year. Roddy White's going to have a good year. Greg Jennings is healthy. Hakeem Nicks in the Giants. Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Wallace, Vincent Jackson, Reggie Wayne, Miles Austin, DeSean Jackson in Philly. By the time you get out of the top 11, 12, once you get past the Dwayne Bowe, who currently ranked number 13, Mike Williams, Jeremy Maclin, Marcus Colston, Brandon Lloyd, they're great, solid receivers. I don't know if they're necessarily your first picks if you can get one of the other 12. Percy Harvin has kind of elevated his game now, obviously with the departure of Sidney Rice. And Sidney's kind of fallen on a rough situation out there, I guess, in Seattle, simply because he's dealing with Tavares Jackson as his quarterback. But that's still Sidney Rice. And that in of itself means that he's got some weapons to work with. So, you know, again, I'm a DeVere Jackson fan. I like the kid. He's never really been given a fair shake to show what he's got. Now he's going to get one in Seattle with Pete Carroll. You know, Pete Carroll's going to put him in a position to be successful. There's no doubt about that. But your secondary guys in terms of fantasy are going to be really, really critical. Your Wes Welkers. Wes is always a big numbers guy. Anquan Boldin, what's he going to do in Baltimore this year? Brandon Marshall with Chad Henne throwing him the ball. What are they going to do? For those of you in leagues that involve tight ends, well, once you get past Gates, Clark, Witten, JerMichael Finley, Vernon Davis, and hang on a second. I don't see a Tony Gonzalez sighting. What's that all about? They had Tony Gonzalez ranked 14. Okay, if I'm Tony Gonzalez, I'm salty about that. That shouldn't be the case. 10:55 for your morning as we wind it down. Gates, Clark, Witten, Finley, Davis, Owen Daniels, Mercedes Lewis, Kellen Winslow, and Zach Miller, Greg Olson are all above Tony Gonzalez. Who generated this? Yeah, Tony Gonzalez is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Unless there's something fundamentally wrong with him, there's no way he should be that low. Tony Gonzalez could easily be in the top five on this list. But, again, your drafts are coming up. Guys are going to have to make some tough decisions. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can get the top five and you can spread them out in each rank, in each position over the first two or three rounds, you're probably going to set yourself up for a great run this year. Don't be disappointed if you don't get that first pick with Adrian Peterson, because in about 95% of leagues, it is indeed going to be Adrian Peterson as that first pick in the draft. But that should not be the end all. Minnesota may not put up that many points this year. Chris Johnson's going to take him at least a couple weeks to get his football legs and football game back on. I'd be looking more at Jamal Charles or Arian Foster if I'm looking at running backs. For quarterbacks, well, let's face it, Aaron Rodgers, Mike Vick, Drew Brees, all fantasy heads. Tom Brady's going to put up some numbers. He's not going to put up massive numbers because that's not how the Patriots roll. It's about team more than individuals. In San Diego, Phillip Rivers could be looking at an MVP run. He's got weapons. He's got a gun for an arm. We don't know if Peyton Manning's going to be back for week one. I know he's really fighting hard to get there, but that's why you go out and get your Kerry Collins. So we'll just have to wait and see how that all plays itself out. Matt Ryan should have big numbers. He's got people to throw to. Julio Jones is there. Roddy White is there. He's got weapons. And, again, Chicago Bears' Jay Cutler's got Roy Williams to throw to, but they're going to spread the ball around. You're going to see Matt Forte out of the backfield. You're going to see Marion Barber out of the backfield. So, that whole situation is going to really rest on Jay Cutler, which may mean big-time numbers for a Jay Cutler this year. Anyway, we're going to have to wait and see how all it plays out. Back to wrap the show up in about a minute.
What's your favorite summer memory?
Stopping by McDonald's for a Caesar chicken snack wrap. Tender chicken and creamy Caesar dressing. Oh, and then having a Coffee Crisp McFlurry. Oh, it's so good.
What about when we sat under the stars holding hands and you said you loved me?
That was good, too.
For a summer flavor on the go, try the Caesar chicken snack wrap. Crispy or grilled for $1.89. And the new Coffee Crisp McFlurry for a limited time of participating McDonald's in Atlantic Canada.
So I'm at the game with my boys, and the Cougars are getting killed. I mean, it's getting ugly, like 69-0 ugly. But I convinced everyone to stick it out because the concession stand sells their leftover cheeseburgers for $1 after the game. After enduring the beatdown, we discovered that the Department of Health has put a nix on the whole selling leftover stadium burgers thing. The guys were not happy with me, but I told them no sweat.
One
Let's
minute
go to
left
McDonald's.
In the
The Dollar Menu offers a fresh, warm, juicy, 100% beef cheeseburger along with seven other wonderful options every day. And you don't have to sit through the game to get it. We learned you can't always count on your team, but you can always count on the Dollar Menu.
Welcome back to the show, though. The ride, if you will, 2 minutes to go on this big horse. Actually, about a minute left to go on this horse. I want to wind you down and remind each and every one of you, 1 week from today, your crazy Sundays get started on your NFL weekends. I know you guys have probably cleaned up grills. You've got your decks ready to rock and roll. If you're not going to the game, you're tailgating outside in your backyard. You're doing what you're doing. Congratulations, National Football League, for getting that CBA done and bringing us back to America's game, which, uniquely enough, has always been the National Football League. I'm not hating on baseball, not hating on basketball, but let's face it, we all get a little geeked up when the fall comes and the Bears are on, the Eagles, or whatever the market you're in, your team is on and you're ready to rock and roll with it. As always, I love you and there's nothing else you can do about it. Much love to Katie Mae. Much love to Leona. Much love to the family. My brother, JC, God bless you, man. Rest in peace. I love you, and I'm always thinking about you. My brother, Rich, out there in Oregon, I'm coming to see you, man. I know we got some things to take care of, but to all my family, all my friends, I love y'all. There's nothing you can do about it except try to love a brother back because that's what we roll. In the meantime, get your fantasy on today. For those of you going after youth football, congratulations to you and all the kids that play youth sports throughout whatever market you're listening to in, whether you're in the depths of Oregon or the humidity of Florida. Bless you and enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Have some fun. Throw some on the grill and get some good seasonings. And we'll see you next week on the fastest 60 minutes in sports.